No sound. Now, so does my message make sense to you this morning? I want to read a few verses from each of the three readings that I chose for today. For my first message to you, the first reading is from Jeremiah 1, 4 to 10. And if you wanted to just follow the verses, they're on page 746. The word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." And the second reading from 1 Timothy 1:15 to 17 is found on page 1174 of your pew Bible. And Paul writes, "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. And now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Amen." And from the Gospel reading from Luke chapter 4, verse 17 following, where Jesus is in the temple, that's on page 1018. He's not in the temple, he's in the synagogue at Nazareth, and he was asked to read the scriptures. And he took the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, was given to him, he unrolled it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon us as I share this word today, the word of the journey of my life that you have called me upon. Lord, may what you have done in my life be a blessing and an inspiration to all the folk of HDK. May it also help them to understand me and the way that I'm wired, the way that you wire me, so that together we may go forward in peace and love and unity. So Lord, bless us this day as I share. In your precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Who used to watch or who watches Hogan's Heroes? Okay, who's your favourite character? Schultz. Schultz, everybody loves old Schultz. Anybody else to love somebody?
That gorgeous Frenchman.
Oh, the boy. Goodness me. No wonder my wife is six inches away from the TV. I better turn it off. My favourite is Major Hochstetter, that nasty little German Gestapo man. And when he's in the office with Clint and Hogan comes into the office, he says, "Colonel Robert W. Hogan reporting for duty, sir." And old Hochstetter just about explodes. He says, "Clint, who is this man?" And I guess that's probably what you could be wondering today. Who is this man? Who is this man that Don and Janet and Andrew have unleashed upon you here at HDK? I guess the good thing is that if you don't really like me, you can blame them. So you get to know me a little. In this first sermon today, I want to share with you some of the main points of my life's journey, as I said in the prayer, so that you get to know me a little more, and indeed who this man is. Well, this Friday is my 60th birthday. So on the 3rd of August 1958, I was born in Toowoomba, Queensland, to Doreen, my mum, she was a housewife, and my dad, Clyde, who was a cheesemaker. As an infant, I was born 7 weeks premature, and I weighed only 4 pounds. And I was a very sickly infant, and when Mum took me home from hospital, for the first 6 weeks of my life, I had to lie on, I always say, a manger of hay, sounds like Jesus, but it was actually a mattress of hay. And Mum had to change hot water bottles in it, keep it nice and warm for me. It was kind of a primitive humidity crib in order to give me a good start. And that was quite cold and torn, really. It was to be getting up through the night, filling hot water bottles regularly. But anyway, Mum thought I might end up as a pastor because when I was baptised 12 weeks later in St John's Lutheran Church in Toowoomba, I began to hiccup profusely after my baptism. Now, and that was in the days when not even infants were allowed to make a noise in church. You had to sit still and be quiet. And Mum said she was so embarrassed because after the baptism, all you could hear around this church was this little infant, Stephen, hiccuping. And the reason why I hiccup was that the pastor was a bit splash happy with the water, and I got some down my throat, and I started to hiccup. But Mum definitely began to think I would end up in the ministry when, as I shared with the kids before, I began to play church with my teddy bears. And I wanted to be a minister. And the person who was the greatest influence on me to become a minister was a man, his name was Pastor Don Meldner. And Pastor Don came to our church after that guy who baptised me, who was a pretty loud, short, bald man who wore a black gown. He looked more like a bat than a minister. And then we had Pastor Don come, and he wore a cassock, and over the top of his cassock, he wore the white surplice. He looked kind and gentle, and he was a kind and gentle man, and I wanted to be like Pastor Don when I grew up. Well, in my primary school days, when it was still acceptable to be a Christian in society, it was okay when kids asked you, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I'd say, a pastor. But when I went to high school, that wasn't cool. I got laughed at, I got tormented, I got ridiculed, and so much so that I decided that I didn't want to be a pastor anymore. And I lost my vision for the future and my direction. And so I left school at the end of year 10 to take up a printing apprenticeship. But I wasn't very good at being a printer. I wasn't in my genes. And I, at the end of my printing apprenticeship, I ended up getting the sack because I wouldn't have made a great transfer. So because all the printers in Toowoomba knew each other, there was no way that I would get another printing job in Toowoomba, so I had to go and live in Brisbane. And the good thing about that was that in Brisbane, I joined a church that had a really vibrant youth group. I got involved in Lutheran Student Fellowship. I began to go to Lutheran youth events, and my faith really grew. And as I was standing beside the printing press, grinding out envelopes and letterheads and everything all day, I started to fantasise about what it would have been like to have actually been a pastor. So at the age of 24, I headed off down to Luther Seminary in Adelaide, which is the Lutheran Church's training institution. I did mature age entry, and I was accepted, and so began my 6.5 years of study and practical training to become a pastor in the Lutheran Church. I guess you're wondering how Glenda, the Kiwi from Rotorua, came into my life. Well, Glenda was doing in my first year at seminary what Kiwis call an OE, an overseas experience. And she was having an OE in Adelaide, and she was working in the kitchen at Luther Seminary as a dishwasher. We had our first date on Mother's Day of 1983, and we were married on the 14th of January the following year. And people say to me, why were you in such a hurry to get married? Well, the thing was, she was such a great dishwasher, I wanted her to be my wife. So on July the 16th, 1989, I was ordained in my home church in Toowoomba. But I was quite a different Christian then from when I began my journey at the seminary. And the reason for this was during my practical student year, what the Lutherans actually call your vicarage, you get your BDH and then you do your practical student year and then you go back for a final year of study. In that practical year, my vicar father was a charismatic pastor. His name was Kevin Helbig. He was a leader in Lutheran Renewal. And through his training and through his influence, I grew more in the Holy Spirit. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and given the gifts of speaking in tongues. Through his influence, I also became involved in Victorious Ministries Through Christ, VMTC. It's a ministry, it's a prayer ministry that your very first priest here, Bruce Sligo, was actually involved in. He was the Australian director. Well, after I graduated from seminary and was ordained, I was called to Zion Lutheran Church in Gawler, just north of Adelaide. I remained involved in VMTC. I joined the Lutheran Renewal Movement, and I also became involved in the Cogatus Retreat Ministry, which was a spirit-focused retreat ministry. Something like Casillo and my friend Carol up in Corner, who's come up for Friday night and today, she was involved in that with me as well. At the VMTC School of Prayer in Adelaide, before I shifted up to Ipswich for my next parish, I was at a particular school, a prayer ministry school, and at the end of this school, normally what happened was all the leaders gathered around you at the end of it, laid hands on you and pray for you, gave you a prophecy or a word picture. And we had talked absolutely nothing about my birth and about my childhood at that particular school. But at the end of the school, as they laid hands on me and prayed for me, one of the leaders stood back and he looked at me and he said, "Steve, I don't understand what this means, but God wants me to tell you this. You should have died at birth, but I have saved you to be my man, a man of God." Well, I knew what that meant. He didn't know what that meant. But when I told everybody, there was great emotion expressed at that prayer ministry still. And ever since then, that prophecy has stood me in great stead as a pastor, because believe it or not, there are many times when you want to walk away from it. Gets too hard, but knowing that this is my destiny and this is my purpose has always kept me hanging in there, except for one occasion that I'll tell you about soon. Well, in 1995, a year after we left Gawler for the Ipswich East Lutheran Parish here in Queensland, Lutheran Renewal was actually stamped out because of a conservative backlash in the leadership of the Lutheran Church. Also, VMTC was pretty iffy here in Queensland, so I never got involved with it. So the Cogatus Renewal Ministry was my mainstay in ministry in the Holy Spirit for that time. In January 2003, after doing a short stint in the Warwick Parish, I was only worked half-time there because for the other half-time, I wanted to be a house husband. I wanted to have a go at doing that, so I did 2 years part-time ministry, part-time house husbanding, which was great fun. So after we left there, after we'd done the time in Warwick, during that time in Warwick, at the end of the first year, the end of 2001, Glenda's mum was killed in a car accident over in New Zealand. So she decided, and I decided too, that we needed to go back to New Zealand to support her dad. But it was to go back to New Zealand and to take up a particular church there that really sorely tested that prophecy that I had been given. Because little did I know that the church that I went to there was a deeply divided church. There were two very strong sides in that church, the traditional Lutherans who had been there since the year dot, and the newcomers who had come into the community and therefore come into the church. Now, This wasn't my observation. This was actually what those two groups of people called themselves. And to make the situation all the harder, the previous pastor and his wife and children had stayed in the parish. And they had had great kudos amongst the people of the community. So it was fairly hard to get our way into it. Well, after 3 years of being in that church, these two groups asked me, would I bring about reconciliation between them? So I organised a service where the two parties could get together and work out their differences, say the sorry, make their peace and move on. But that's where I made a mistake. Little did I realise that the idea of reconciliation for them was the one side getting the other side to say sorry to them. And so I then became the common enemy. And even people who used to support me no longer supported me. They turned up the heat against me, and in the end, the whole situation became untenable. And I resigned from that church after 4.5 years. When I resigned from that church, I thought that was it. I thought God had finished with me, but he didn't want me to be a pastor anymore. I was a failure, and that was it. And so I applied for a number of secular jobs. I got some interviews, but I never ever got a job. And so I went back to Australia for 18 months. I left Glenda and the kids here in New Zealand so they could have some continuity in life. And I worked over there for 18 months until a position could come up in of all places, the Nelson Anglican Diocese, for me to have a go there. You see, in the 18 months when I was having all the strife, I turned to local Anglican Bishop Derek Eden for care and support. And Derek said that he would love to have given me a go in his diocese, but he was stepping down as bishop. But after the new bishop came, I was to go in and take my CV and have a chat to him and see if he would give me a go. Well, Bishop Richard, he was happy to give me a go, but I had to wait those 18 months. And I was eventually given a go in Westport at the Buller Anglican Parish. 6 months before I arrived at that church in October 2008, that church had been through a split as well. And one of the things I needed to do was to bring healing and peace to that church. And so with fear and trepidation, I organised a service of healing and peace. And this time, both parties reconciled. They came together. It wasn't all perfect from day one. But there was such peace and joy amongst the people. The bishop was very happy with what I had done, and he offered me ordination in the Anglican Church. And so I went over to Blenheim. I did 9 months of what they call the period of discernment. And then I came back to Westport on September the 22nd, 2009. I was ordained an Anglican priest and assigned to the Buller Anglican Parish. Well, this began a brand new spiritual journey for me, because just before I left Westport to go to Blenheim, I said to the Lord, Lord, if you want me to come back here to Westport as the vicar, what do you want me to do? And I had a quite unusual experience. I was out in the footpath out in front of the church, and I felt the Westport has the beach to the north and the mountains to the south, and I felt as if both of those entities came over the top of me. And I felt the Lord speak into my heart. It was a feeling, not a voice. And he said, I want you to bring revival to Westport. Now, as far as I have known, revival was something that had only happened in the 19th century in Wales. But the Lord planned it that as soon as I went to Blenheim, the very first thing that I did was go to the Inner Church Ministers Association prayer meeting. And at that prayer meeting, I met the Baptist minister. He was bouncing all around the walls because he had just spent 2 weeks in Bethel Church in Redding, California, with Pastor Bill Johnson. And that was a church that was experiencing modern-day revival. And I discovered that revival wasn't a thing of the past, that actually it's something that's happening all around the world today. And so I bought a number of books by Bill Johnson and also other modern day revivalists, and I grew in leaps and bounds in the Holy Spirit. Well, since I was successful in attaining the position of vicar of the Buller Anglican Parish, I was invited to attend the West Coast Deanery's Bishop's Retreat at Hanmer Springs. Bishop Richard had a focus for that retreat, that we discover what God is calling us to do, and actually, as in our parishes, and set about fulfilling it. You know, did we have a vision and a mission? Well, I knew that God had wanted me to bring revival to Westport, but I didn't know how on earth to do it. So this one night at the retreat before I went to bed, I said to the Lord, "Lord, I know you want me to bring revival to Westport, but how do I do it?" And I lied down and went to sleep, and that night was the most significant encounter with the Lord I've ever had in my whole life. Because at 2:30 a.m. in the morning, I woke up, and the Lord woke me up. And there before my eyes was this word, pathway, in big capital letters. And I knew that it was the Lord, so I said to the Lord, "Lord, what does pathway mean?" And he said to me, "P is for prayer, A is for adoration, T is for teaching, H is for healing, W is for worship." And I can hear him just like I talked to you. And then he stopped. And I said to him, "AY, Lord, what does AY mean? And youth?" He said, "No, and you. Because you must be revived before you can bring revival." And so I went to Westport then with a mission and a method. And I had been wounded from my previous full-time ministry experience. They had been wounded from their church split. And over the next 8.5 years, we had a wonderful time together as both parties healed from previous hurts and wounds. Both parties grew in leaps and bounds in the Holy Spirit. And while revival didn't come to Westport when I left, as in people coming to repentance and faith, that church was certainly a completely different church than when I began. The spiritual temperature of that church was hot. There was a real love and a unity and a freedom in that body on Sunday morning in our worship that was expressed, that visitors, when they came, could actually feel and experience it, and often commented to me after the worship. We held Holy Spirit conferences for the last 4 years. We had speakers come from Australia. People came from all over the diocese and from other churches to attend. And God was certainly faithful in those conferences and poured out his Holy Spirit upon us at those events. But 2 years ago this November, the Spirit began to move in both Glenda and I to unsettle us and begin to put a feeling into our hearts that it was time to move on. Then 12 months ago, last year, we owned a rental house in Westport. The market was low, the economy was in downturn. It looked as if our house that we actually didn't even have for sale would ever sell. But then out of the blue, God provided for us a buyer for our house at the price that we want, when we weren't even really looking to sell. And so we believe from that event onwards that God was calling us to move on. So using Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 as our foundation, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, we knocked on various doors, and the door to HDK opened on the 1st of November last year, when I had my first interview with Bishop Jeremy about coming here to HDK. So Glenda and I both feel that we're here in the place that God has led us to here at HDK. So that's this man who has come to serve you by being your priest. I want to share those readings with you because, like Jeremiah, I felt feel that I've been called from the womb to do what I do and to be who I am, to be a pastor, a priest. This is God's destiny, God's purpose for my life. Also, like Paul, my call to the ministry, and actually even my existence in the world, because I should have died when I was born, as the Lord had said. But he spared me out of his grace to be who I am, to be his man, to be one who would be like Jesus. Jesus, who I shared with you in that Bible reading this morning, ministered the fullness of salvation. I think often in the church we only think about salvation as being the forgiveness of sins, as ministering to the spirit of a human. But salvation is more than that. Salvation is about healing of the body, and salvation is also bringing release to damaged minds, emotions, and wills. Because really, that's what the year of the Lord's favour is all about. It's dealing with the whole person. Body, soul, body, mind, if you like to call it. Body, mind, and spirit. And so, that's who I am. That's where I've been. That's the way my internal compass is wired. That's its north point. So as I said in the beginning of the service, if you don't like that, please blame Don, Janet, and Andrew. But maybe if you think it's a bit cool, give them a hug after the service for doing such a good job. And I look forward to sharing your stories with you and what God has done in your life and your calling to being a Christian and living for God that you do over the years that I'm here. So let's pray. Lord, we just come before you to thank you for the way your Holy Spirit works with such grace in all of our lives. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity to share my story this morning. And as our stories all combine with your story, Jesus Christ, God the Father, Holy Spirit, may we indeed create history here at HGK. Thank you, Lord, in your precious name we pray. Amen.